Hello and welcome to Living the Queen Life, a podcast by Queen of My Own Universe. I'm your host, Margaret Foley, and I am the Queen of My Own Universe. Living the Queen Life podcast showcases the stories of ordinary women doing extraordinary things and brings to you advice, helpful tools and tips and inspiration about how you too can live a life that you love. I believe that every woman is the queen of her own universe, and I'm on a mission to empower you to believe in and lean into your full potential. Think, feel, and live like a queen. There's no one as special as you. Welcome to another episode of Living the Queen Life. Gosh, listeners, life gets a little overwhelming sometimes, doesn't it? There's always a million things to do. Everything always seems urgent and important, and there's never enough hours in the day or hands to help. Family, friends, school, work, household, it is never ending. Today, my guest is Caroline Bruni. Over almost two decades, Caroline has mastered the art and science of supporting high-performing leaders via strategic life management. Through her business, Organize, Curate, Design, she has earned a formidable reputation supporting CEOs, entrepreneurs, and leaders to streamline and organize their lives to maximize their time and profitability while creating intentional lives. Caroline is also a professional speaker, successful artist, model, mother, and is the host of a suite of podcasts including She Inspires Me and Growing Pains. Her work as one of Australia's most prominent lifestyle consultants has been featured on Channel 7 Sunrise, Mamma Mia, Women's Health, Channel 9 News, and Body and Soul. She is also the author of her memoir, More Than One Thing Can Be True, sharing her own story of childhood sexual abuse with a mission to change the world for children today and future generations. In this episode, we're going to dive into how Caroline helps busy women to be intentional about how they approach their lives. So what does organize, curate, design actually mean? We're going to explore how you can organize your mental load and the things that are in your brain. How you can curate your spaces in your mind, your life, and your environment. And then lastly, we'll cover how to design your new life, incorporating skills and services to let you live the life you want to. We also explore some common challenges that so many of us struggle with in daily life, including me, such as, are you managing multiple to-do lists? And how to consolidate that into just one list that you actually do something about? And what can you delegate in your life and who can you delegate it to? And how giving your children and household members chores is considered outsourcing? Now that ship has sailed in my house, but if you've got folks still in your house, listeners, then it's not too late. So grab a pen and paper and get ready to take notes because Caroline has some gems of wisdom in this episode for you. So Caroline, welcome to Living the Queen Life podcast.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a lovely way to end our week. We are recording this on a Friday, so happy Friday to us indeed. Now, I've been looking forward to doing this episode with you because God only knows I could do with a little help with getting my life together. And I have got, I'm a massive fan of to-do lists to the point that I have several of them. So one of my things on my to-do list is to consolidate my to-do list. And then I look at my to-do list and I'm like, where on earth are you going to find all the time to do that? Is it all really important? How do I choose which thing to start with? And that's where you're going to come in and give us a little bit of advice today on the work that you do. So the business that you run, which is Organize, Curate, Design. I had a little bit of a giggle that, you know, that is OCD.
Which it's a good acronym.
I'm thinking is not an accidental.
No, it's one that many people will remember before they even remember my name, and that's completely fine. That's what branding is all about.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of branding, when I go onto your website, it tells me that you are a lifestyle management company. And I'm like, what does that actually mean? So tell us what you do at Organize, Curate, Design and a little bit of your story, how you came to be doing this work and starting your business.
Yeah, definitely. So the backstory is that prior to starting Organize, Curate, Design, I was in the events industry. I was one of the directors of a busy events company. And at the time, my children were younger. So having a young family running a very busy business. And there were things on my life admin list that I just wasn't getting to. Now, for me, being in events, I was very organized already. I ran my household like military style to make sure that we could get all the things done. But there were things on my to-do lists like consolidating my super and updating my will that I wasn't getting to. Important, not urgent tasks. And so I thought, surely there must be something out there where I can outsource this. And I couldn't quite find what I needed. So because I'm entrepreneurial, I thought, oh, I'll start a side hustle, which is how the business was born. And fast forward 5 years later, it's my main business. I do have a range of other things that I do, but and the business name itself is a real reflection of the work that we do and the methodology or the process of how we do what we do. So we organize, but we specifically organize your mental load and the things that are in your brain. So I'm like, there's some amazing organizing companies out there that all specialize in different things. Some come and redo your pantry, some help you organize your photos, some do decluttering. Organize your mental load. So that's the first step. We kind of organize that part. Then we help you curate that space. So what is in your head that doesn't need to be there? What do you need to outsource and delegate? What do you simply need to delete? And what are all the shoulds that you have in your brain, that guilt that you have, or the hangover that's pulled from maybe family environments or things that you were told as a child or all of that stuff? Let's get rid of some of that. And then together with you, we help you design your new life with a combination of be it our service or some things that we can teach you along the way. Now, that's essentially how that lifestyle management component comes into play, because it is about looking at your life as a whole and what is the type of life that you want to be living. We want you to live it intentionally. We want you to feel like you are living a life of purpose, and we want you to see where you can declutter your tasks and to-do list so you can focus on the things that are most important to you. Now, some people actually enjoy doing the laundry, and they think that it's like folding the laundry is the
thing.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, I know, but like what's funny is I actually have amazing ideas when I'm folding the laundry, because it doesn't require brain power, and it also gives me the sensation of finishing a task from start to finish, which sometimes we don't get to do throughout the day. So if I'm really struggling and my brain is like overloaded, I'll go do a really simple task like fold the laundry, because that's often like it's a bit of a sensory thing for me. But some people will often go, oh, I need to outsource this task. And yeah, maybe you do. But that's maybe the straw that broke the camel's back, not the actual problem. So we help you kind of unpack that. So, the lifestyle management piece is all around looking at what kind of lifestyle do you want for you and your family and your loved ones, and how can we help you make that happen?
I have so many questions.
Yeah, it tends to happen that way. And people are like, can you just come and live in my brain or live in my house and help me with the things? I'm like, no problems.
So it sounds as though there's two elements. I mean, there's the actual tasks that need doing, you know, so you're not offering, I don't know if I just heard you offer to come and fold my laundry. If you did, I love you. Yes, please.
Yeah, no, but I know I gave you that example. I don't necessarily like doing my own laundry, but our company will help you find someone to outsource that to if that's what you want to outsource. So we do the admin and logistics of the task. So our team are based all around the country. And we've got clients all around the country. And so that's what we do. We do the research. We find the tradie. We find the service. We purchase the gift. We do the thing. But we don't physically come and do the thing for you. I'd need an army of people to be folding laundry if that was the case, because all the mums would be like, please fold the laundry.
Please. Yes, absolutely. So if I look at my, there's the to-do list that I write down, and I had a little internal giggle when you said about consolidating my super and writing a will.
Mm-hmm. Is it on there?
I have.
Is it on your list?
That's on there. That's on there. I have, got like I think 4 superannuation accounts. Mm-hmm. In 2 different names, because there was my previous mm-hmm. married name and then my current name. And I have on multiple occasions, filled in the online form mm-hmm. to say I would like to consolidate my super. Yep. And they send me out all the paperwork because it expires. What they send you is you've only got a certain amount of time to do it and return it. But because it involves going and getting or providing copies of, marriage certificates and divorce certificates and getting stat decks and blah, 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 mm-hmm. it's like, oh, yeah, I'll get around to that. And I know that I should, because it's costing me a fortune in fees mm-hmm. to run all of these multiple superannuation accounts. And I kid you not, I've been doing that for 2 mm-hmm. years. Like, I think next time I fill in the form to say, hey, I want to consult, they're just going to go, lady, we're not sending it
to you. We know this game.
You're full of it.
We're not even going to bother sending you forms.
Exactly. Yeah. I've got the will kit. I got that far. I bought, the do-it-yourself will mm-hmm. kit. I don't know. It's somewhere in the cupboard with all the other paperwork that I know I need to do something about. So there's those, and if you think about and you mentioned, not important, not urgent. Yeah. So one of the things that I love considering doing is really going into that that matrixing out your life mm-hmm. into the different quadrants. And I don't know if that's kind of where you go, that this is urgent and important, not urgent but important, urgent but not like.
It's called the Eisenhower matrix. That's mm-hmm. what that matrix is called. Yeah.
All right. So, but if we look at like it's all important and it's all urgent and I need to do it all now, and how do you help us kind of go through all this stuff that we have to do mm-hmm. and really get clear about what is important and urgent, or actually just even what's important versus it's on my could-do list.
Mm.
I hate to use the word should because I don't like the word mm-hmm. should. It's on my, I probably really eventually need to do uh-huh. this, but it's not high priority, but it stays on my to-do list and it's been there for 2 years. How do we do that?
How do you work through that? Well, the first step is mm-hmm. definitely the consolidation. You mentioned that right at the start of our chat. And the reality is if you have multiple lists in multiple places, then that's also like automatically going to cause some stress, because you're actually using up time if you're writing things in multiple places. Like, so trying to consolidate. Now, if that's notes on your phone, if you're, or if that is a particular app or program, if that is a whiteboard in your office, it doesn't really matter what it is, but just try and have one place. Now, I recommend having one place that's digital, because the reality is the whiteboard in your office is great, but it's not with you when you're at the supermarket. It's not with you when you're out with a client at school pickup or whatever the case may be. So having a tool that is digital is what I normally recommend. And then sticking with it. So investing the time to incorporate that all of that data and then trying to stick with one, because there's always a new app. Like someone will say, oh, have you tried this thing? And it's like next thing you know, you've got 5 new to-do list apps. And don't get me wrong, people are pitching apps to me all the time because it's the industry that I'm in. But I'm like, that's great. I'm happy to look at it and recommend it to clients who are starting off because it might be the right fit for them. But I'm not changing my stuff because I have it all in one place. From there, it's a tricky, like there isn't a hard and fast rule as to how to do or how to categorize and whatever else. I definitely use that methodology of important and urgent and working clients through a range of tasks. So like we just go through a list of maybe 10 things and we talk through them and I'm like, okay, well, your superannuation is important, but it isn't urgent. like urgent is putting fuel in your car because you need to go to a meeting. Urgent is making sure you've got clean clothes. Urgent is the stuff that you need, like food in the fridge, that sort of stuff. Or a bill that's overdue and your electricity is going to get cut off. That stuff's urgent. The important but not urgent is the likes of your superannuations and your wheels and whatever else. But the key is making sure that you allocate time for it. So if you were to treat the task like you would treat a client or something that was important to you in your business, you would make time for that. So when it comes to an example like yours, I would carve out 2 hours and put it in my calendar and drop all the emails or anything into that calendar link. So everything was there when I was ready to work on it, or have a section in my to-do list app or whatever you're using for that particular task, and then sit down and do it. So commit to the task. It may be that you commit to doing it in 6 months' time, but don't keep moving that because then it will never get done. And then it's a case of, you know, calling around and getting your stat deck done and going to the justice of the peace or whatever else, but because you're doing it in that two-hour block and you book that time with that person or whatever else. It's being really intentional on how you use your time. But those important, not urgent, they get scheduled for later. The important and urgent, they're the things that you do immediately or within the day. And then there are the not urgent but not important, and they're the things you're delegating. So as a mum, I delegate things to my kids all the time. I get them to take the bins out and put the wheelie bin out the front, and I get them to do certain things because all of those things need to be done and they're time sensitive, but they're like not requiring my brain power, so someone else can do those. And then doing a reassess and identifying the things on your task that are not important and not urgent. Now, there may have been something you added to your list really early on, like a month ago or whatever, that at the time seemed important, but life has changed. You need to let those things go and be really clear that it's time to just delete it. And that's where the should comes in, because sometimes initially we thought, oh, I really should book a meeting with this person because I think that's going to be really valuable. And then as your business has changed or your goals have changed, you're like, actually, I don't think that's the direction I'm going in at the moment. I'm actually going to delete this task because it's not relevant anymore. And people get really stuck with that one because they think, well, I've already researched that, or I had already booked that meeting or whatever else. It's like you can change your mind. Like you can actually let things go. So it is a mindset thing.
I love that. And it's, I guess it's all about thinking about what's actually important to me. So as you say, there's the things we have to do. You know, there has to be food in the fridge, and the bills have to get paid, and we have to put fuel in a car, and we have to get the kids to school on time, or, you know, turn up to the business meeting and be prepared for it, whatever it is. They're the things that we have to do because that keeps us going. Yep. The things that we put on our to-do list that are there 1 month, 3 months, 6 months later that usually are accompanied by I should. Oftentimes do you find that they're not actually, when you drill down to it and go, well, why did you put that there? Why do you think you should do that? That is one of the reasons why we don't do things that we put on our to-do list that have got that should associated with them, is because they're not actually aligned to who we are, who we want to be, and the life we want to live. We do it because we feel like we should. Like, I should do the yoga class because all the mums at school keep talking about it. I should do that because it seems cool and it seemed like a good idea at the time. So do you find that there's a correlation between that's actually not, it's not an important task. It's not important to me personally and who I am and what I value, and that's why I never get around to it?
Yeah, very much so. And I think as women, we can often have these lingering requirements that we've seen modeled in the way that we have seen our parents or other people do things in a certain way. It could be generational, there are all these things that linger in. And so like a perfect example of something that maybe 10 years ago I would have put on my should list is I should mend those pants. I don't like mending pants. Like, I just don't. I'm like, I don't really like the fiddly nature of it. I definitely don't own a sewing machine, so I'd have to do it by hand. And yeah, that could be a skill as a mum that would be a really great skill for me. It's something I learnt in home ec in high school, sort of thing, but I don't like doing it. So I could really get stuck on that, and it could be totally become a thing in my head going, oh, but if I was a good mum, I would know how to mend pants and I should teach myself how to do that, or I should not go for that walk in the sunshine because I should be mending the kids' pants, or I could take it down to the shops and get someone else to do it, or I could just buy them a new pair of pants if I really wanted to. Like, it's just, that's such a simple example of something that even I could have got stuck on in the past and got in my own head about. And that's got nothing to do with me. Like, it's just this linger of like this expectation of what women should be doing or what mums should be doing or what we should have the capacity to do. And I'm like, I don't, like, there's some mums that look at how I manage our household and they're like, it's like superhuman the way that you manage things. I'm like, yeah, but it's a skill of mine. Now, I don't know how to mend, well, I do, but I don't want to mend clothes and I don't make costumes for my kids and I don't do certain things that I know some mums do so well and it's so impressive. And I'm like, we're allowed to do things differently. But I would, you know, I'm putting that on myself to say that I should. And no one else is standing, well, not very often, anyone else is standing around going, you should do that. Now, I know that there are dynamics when you've got parents or grandparents or in-laws or other people that might not say the direct, you should, but might raise an eyebrow or make a comment or whatever. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yes.
But that can also filter in and you have to choose. You've only got a certain amount of hours in the day, so you need to choose how you're going to use those hours and what you're going to do with them.
Yeah, yeah. And that I'm curious about your thoughts on the phrase of time management.
Mm.
You know, I had a conversation recently with an organisation and some lovely ladies who run this business, which is all about time.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say to my team, you know, when I was in the corporate world and you know, managing people, and I would say, I don't actually like the phrase time management.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually prioritising what you do with that time.
Yep.
So curious as to your perspective on time as a construct,
mm-hmm.
You know, because we might say, oh, there's only so many hours in the day and there's only 24 hours and I finally had more time and I can't invent time. What's your thoughts around time as a fixed or a infinite resource?
Yep.
And where do you sit on the phrase time management as opposed to prioritization?
I use the phrase time management all the time. It is something that people know and understand, so it's probably why I don't think I've actually even thought about the restrictions around the word management versus prioritization. That being said, when I teach people time management skills, it's all around prioritization and seeing yes. time as an asset and choosing and being really intentional, and there's a real deeper methodology to what I teach and how I do what I do. So I guess the title of time management to me is something that I think people it's a common phrase that people understand. So mm-hmm. it doesn't really sit one way or another for me. But I think that time as a construct is a really interesting one. Now, in the past, I have well and truly said the phrase, we all have the same amount of hours in the day. And I didn't even... when I would have said that to people, I don't think I realised the impact that that could have had on the person I was speaking to. It would often be a response that I would give to people. So people would say, how do you get so much done? And I'd be like, we've all got the same amount of hours in the day. But now that I have a bit, you know, just over time and age and just all the things that you learn in time, there's a few things that I'm really conscious of. One, it's skill and experience. So I'm about to turn 40, I'm really conscious that the capacity and the skill and understanding I had as a 20-year-old compared to what I have as a nearly 40-year-old is really different. My values yes. are different. My understanding of how I want to choose to use my time is really different. So me saying to like a 20-something year old who's looking at me going, how do you do it all? And I'm like, we've all got the same amount of hours in the day. I'm like, I just happen to have lived 20 more years than you. So I've got the skills on top of that. So that's one thing to be really conscious of when you're looking at time as a construct and trying to compare. The other thing is around capacity. So yeah, and even you and I, we're both mums, we're both business owners, we're both in the entrepreneurial kind of small business space, but our lives are really different. And our kids are different ages and we live in different places and we've had different upbringings. And so it's about capacity. I think what we get stuck with when we look at time as a construct is we compare. And that's where the should creeps back in and we go, but that mum at school, like, she works full time. And so why can't I do what, like, I don't work full time. Why can't I keep up? And it's like, well, you're just working with a different level of understanding, level of skill, level of capacity, and you know, we all need to simply be running our own race. And some days are going to be easier than others, and just got to take it one day, one moment at a time. So, yeah, the time is a construct thing, and everyone's got the same 24 hours. It's like we don't, we just don't.
We just don't. And I think that's a really valuable reframe on that, because I, you know, as you're saying, but we've all got the same 24 hours. I had this little, you know, heart flutter that kind of went, wow, am I lazy?
Mm.
Or am I, like, is there something wrong with me because I can't get as much done in the day as what you can? And then I like got my mother's voice cracking back into my head, right? And I talked to so many women. I was having this conversation with some ladies earlier this week in Women's Circle about the fact that we don't give ourselves permission to stop because we look at our to-do list and feel that we are not allowed to stop and sit on that couch for 15 minutes or half an hour, or let alone longer, until stuff is done. While there is work to be done, we're not allowed to rest. Yeah. And oftentimes that's because that's what we saw our mothers do, because that's what they saw their mothers do. So where in amongst, I guess, and you mentioned mindset earlier, you know, where we, and I used to be like this, like I could not stop. If I wasn't working at my job, I was working, you know, doing stuff around my house. And as I would sit there on the sofa and go, right, I'm going to watch Netflix, you know, and the only thing I ever gave myself permission to just ignore the house for like days on end was when every season of The Crown would drop, which is coming soon. So just warning to my children and anybody who wants to just, if you want to randomly pop into my house during November, it's going to be a shit show because I'm binge watching The Crown. Just putting that out there. But once upon a time, I would not have done that. I could not have, or I would have done it with a huge amount of guilt. And then berating myself. And then as I got into cleaning up the house and doing the housework and the backlog of chores, I would lessen my enjoyment of the time I'd just given myself because you were being lazy and you shouldn't have done this. And now look what what's happened. So I know I'm not the only woman who feels that way about giving herself back time. So two parts of this question. Is part of the exercise and the work that you do, not just about helping us get our households more organized and our lives more organized, how do we then prioritize, okay, you're getting back some time, you're lessening, you mentioned the mental load, we're lessening that mental stress and anxiety that you're feeling about everything you've got to do. We've identified some things that we can outsource or we can do differently. Is one of the objectives for some of the women that you work with to actually get some time back for themselves? Or when you're looking at, you know, structuring how people go about, you know, their day or their week or their lives, are you intentionally scheduling in me time for these women?
Yeah, so it's always a really interesting exercise when so the onboarding process for us for clients is they have a free consultation call with me, which then if they want to come on board, it's a discovery session. So it's a bit like Pandora's box. I poke and prod. So they often come in and say, I'm really like, I'm struggling with the laundry. And I'm like, okay, cool, tell me more about that. And then as we deep dive, they tell me, you know, about the boxes of things that they have in their garage from their elderly parents who recently passed that's causing them a lot of emotional grief. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So this actually has nothing to do with the laundry. So that exercise is always really interesting. What tends to happen, though, is we'll use about an hour and a half talking about everyone else in their life, and I'll get right towards the end and I'm like, okay, cool, that was all great. And I've made all those notes of all those things that are super important to you because you love and care for these people. But we haven't put anything down for you. So what are you doing for your self-care? Are your medical appointments up to date? Are the prescription for your glasses up to date? Like, when did you last go get your eyes checked? And what are you doing? When do you carve out time for yourself? And how do you like to spend that time? Is it with people or is it by yourself? And you know, do you have a stack of books on your bedside table that you'd like to get to? And that's when it just drops for them and they go, oh wow. And like, so just letting you know that all of that stuff, yeah, we're going to totally get to that, but we're doing this part first. Because if we use the same methodology as a business would, if in a business your management team are not functioning at their best, the flow and effect of how that affects everyone else in the team is so detrimental to the business. We lead by example. We show people how we show up for ourselves in our businesses. Therefore, we can do it for our team or our clients or whatever else. We somehow walk back into our households and forget everything we know.
And we do the opposite.
Yes. So I actually just met with a potential new client yesterday and I was talking him through this and he was like, that makes so much sense. I'm like, if you just took the same methodology that you use in business or even in a corporate setting of how you show up at work and you go above and beyond and you make sure that everything's done, you wouldn't, if you do that for yourself first, if you are filling your cup, running at your best, the flow and effect of how that impacts your loved ones, your household members, anyone else in your community is so significant. And that's a mindset shift. And it takes a while. Some people are like, that sounds great in theory, but I don't have time. And I'm like, okay, well, let's make some time. And that's where that cheeky, we've all got 24 hours, really comes into play. It's really interesting when you had that kind of moment where that comparison moment that you shared with me just a moment ago, people assume that I am like racing around doing 50 million things. One, I'm not a morning person, so I don't often get out of bed till about 7:45. But I'm early sleep. I just need a lot of sleep, so I go to bed really early. I don't have a lot of hobbies. Like I don't play a sport. I don't go to yoga. I don't do like a regular thing other than just exercise at home and walks and that sort of stuff. I've got a really small friendship group. Like I know a lot of people, but I've got my kind of inner circle.
People
would assume that because I'm super organized and publicly the output looks really high, that I must be this ridiculously hyper-focused, super organized person. And yes, in lots of ways I am, but if you looked at how much rest is in my calendar, it's the opposite of what people think. And I have to function like that because when I'm on, there's no distractions. I don't get distracted by my, by social media. I turn everything off when I need to. I hyper-focus. I get the job done and then I go do my life and I go do the things I love. And if that's having a nap on the couch and the dishes aren't clean because I've outsourced that to my kids, then they'll do it when they're ready and it's totally fine. But that, don't get me wrong, I say that like it's really easy, but it took me years and years to get to that point.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing is that, well, there's two parts to what you were describing there. One, we can't change our lives overnight. Despite our best intentions and our wishes and our dreams, it takes work, it takes practice because we're changing habits which have been ingrained into us. And we're also potentially changing mindset and beliefs and values that we've carried with us our entire lives. And that takes work. The other part that you were describing earlier about, if you took some of the practices and principles that you apply to the business world. Particularly if you are running your own business or you're managing a team of people, of you know, planning and structure and communication and prioritization and delegation, if we took that and we applied that to our personal lives, like our personal lives would run way more smoothly.
Yeah.
Now, I love that analogy. I do a process which is a quarterly review on my own life. Mm. And people look at me, huh, what? Mm. I'm like, well, it's, you know, if you do a quarterly performance review at work, this is basically a quarterly performance review on yourself and your life, which really is about celebrating in the last quarter. So it's a review of the last quarter. What did I achieve? What am I proud of? What are my learnings? So what maybe didn't go as well as I would have liked, but what did I learn from it? How can I reset and do it differently next time? What are my key takeaways? What will I stop doing in the next quarter? What will I keep doing that's working? And then resetting for the next quarter, what are my priorities? Where do I want to focus my time? Because we can come up with, you know, we do an exercise which is literally writing down all the different areas of your life, you know, and naming specific children and your health, physical health, mental health, work, money, family, home, house, friendships, fun time, all of these bits. And then almost doing like a traffic light system on them.
Yep. Because it's how you would do it in business.
It's how you would do it in a business. You would, because we get so caught up in the, and there's some catastrophizing language that we can sometimes find, you know, oh, it's, you know, it's a shit show. You know, it's, I'm so busy, like everything's out of control. And you go, okay, well, let's break it down. Let's take some of those business practices, break it down into different elements. Let's actually really say, is, you know, child one, you know, how's that going? Actually, they're okay. They're okay. So they're green. Child number two might be having some issues at school. There might be some health things going on. No, you know what? They're red because it needs my, you know, immediate attention. So it's really taking that urgent, important, urgent, not important, and turning it into a traffic light system. And then at the end of it, I look at all these areas of my life, which I 5 minutes ago said were a complete shit show and everything was overwhelming. And I'm like, actually.
Yeah, there's only a few reds.
There's three things in red.
Yeah.
That require my prioritization. There's a couple of things in orange, but everything else is actually green. So suddenly, okay,
right,
this is really cool. And then how do I plan? What am I going to commit to? So I used to think, and some people still look at me really, really weird when I talk about doing this blueprint and this quarterly planning and review thing on your life, that we should just be all in the flow and intuitive and going with it. And, you know, the notion of applying structure and planning to your life is the opposite of what we should do. And it doesn't mean that just because I have a plan and I have some prioritizations and I'm clear about what I'm trying to achieve, that when something comes in, something new comes into my sphere, I go, sorry, not on my list.
Yeah.
Not on my plan. Not doing you. We don't blinker ourselves to it. But when something new comes at us, we can look at it and go, where do you fit in how I evaluate what's important to me in my life, in how I prioritize my time and my effort and in my love and my emotion and my energy into things that are in alignment with my values. When something new comes in, I can go, not in alignment, you don't even make the list.
Yeah, exactly.
In alignment, but not super high importance to me. It's that, what's that phrase? Just, you know, a lack of planning on your part doesn't constitute a crisis.
Yeah, I know what you, I think I've heard the phrase before. Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting about what you've just shared is that if we were to apply that once again to business, if you're sitting at your desk and you've got your whole day planned and then your boss comes over and says, oh, we've just had this amazing opportunity. We just landed this client. I really need you to write this report. You'd be like, okay, I need to write the report, but how do I fit that in with the other priorities and what gets moved around? And so it's exactly the same in life. But the difference, and I think why people get stuck with this and probably why people react the way that they do when you share how you do your quarterly review, is there's an emotion involved. There is such a deep love and emotion involved in child one and two So when we're not analyzing the actual information and we're thinking about life as a whole, we can feel like everything is a shit show. But it's because child number two is in the red zone, and that hurts your heart. Like, it's really hard.
Yes.
I guess I need to really preface the concept of applying the business organization to life. Yes, you'll be able to do that and it will make things a lot easier, but you'll still have emotion and you'll still have expectations and communication and all of those things that will come into play. And that's what makes it a little bit trickier, but it also is what makes it beautiful, because in the end, like, we all have jobs and businesses and whatever else, and all of that's great and it fulfills us, but it's not quite the way that our relationships fulfill us. And so when it's hard, it feels extra hard, and when it's amazing, it feels extra amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some of the most common things that you find people choosing to outsource? And that's either, I love the concept, I love this reframe that giving my children chores is outsourcing. 100%,
that's how I like get it over the line. They're like, it's funny because my husband's always like, I am not one of your team members. I'm like, but I allocated that task to you. So right now, it is a really interesting. Well, I think we get stuck that outsourcing always has to be something we pay for. But if we use the same business structure, I treat our household like a team. So we all have a job to do, we all have a role to play, and I even use that communication with my children. So a few weeks ago, I was in a really stressful point in my business, and I was not the nicest person to live with. I'm super cranky most days, and that's what you bring home. Like, you try and show up really well at work, and then you bring your cranky version home, because that's just what happens in the family. And to my 10-year-old, I said to him, I'm just gonna help you, I need you to understand that I am normally I bring X amount into our household, but I'm at capacity right now. So what would normally be this version of mum, right now I've got about 10% to give. So when you run around the house, normally I'd be like, mate, can you just stop running around the house? But now it's going to be the thing that tips me over the edge. So communication around that capacity, explaining that because I'm at capacity or I've got this other stuff going on, I need you to actually help more. I need to be able to delegate more to you. Can you please take this on? I know it's something I normally do, but I'd really appreciate if you could take that on, because as a team, if we work together and we've got 10 things to do today, sometimes I will do 5 of those, but some days I can only do 3. Someone needs to do them, and as a team we should be able to work this out together. So once again, that same kind of business or like corporate kind of concept. But, yeah, when it comes to delegating and outsourcing, people get stuck and they think, oh, I've got to go pay Caroline and her team to do all this stuff. And don't get me wrong, we're quite happy to onboard you as a client, but it's not necessarily the intention of me. Like, I don't want 100 clients, because that would be really hard to manage. So it's looking at what is the distribution in your household, and is everyone pulling their weight at the capacity that they have based on their age and other commitments and all of that sort of stuff. Who else in your community can you support and in turn have some kind of trade system with? I was speaking to a new client the other day. She's a medical professional. She knows a lot of medical students, and I said, could you mentor a medical student and spend an hour a week with them talking about uni or what's happening in their lives in exchange for them to drive your kids to sport once a week? She was like, yeah, I could 100% do that. I'm like, well, that's a trade, and it's an easy trade.
Great idea, yeah.
And that, like, that student would kill for an hour of your time to pick your brain about what's happening in their studies or their career path or whatever else. And if you then have someone to drive your kids to sport or come and prep dinner or whatever it is that you're trading for, that's time. You're trading time, but people assume you have to pay a service or you have to get a nanny or you have to do something. So just thinking outside the box, because delegation can look, you know, lots of different ways. And yes, there's services like ours that you can pretty much outsource anything now, but yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be something you pay for.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So if I am a super busy working mum with gosh, hopefully everybody isn't like me and has multiple to-do lists. and I have got multiple apps. I'm a bit of an app addict. I need to here you go. Here's my thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to do it. I will commit to going through my phone and deleting every app that I've ever downloaded that I haven't used. So there
your
you go.
Here's my number one. Your phone can tell you when you last used an app. It's quite clever.
See, now I feel really bad that I don't know that.
It's just a settings thing, but yeah, it can be done.
There's a lot of things I don't know about my. It's, I know I'm not good with the technologies, but if I wanted to start, where would I start? So short of going right, I need to pay Caroline to sort my life out, and I'm like, I've listened to this podcast and I'm feeling inspired that I can be more structured and be more intentional with the time that I have and what I need to get done in my life. What could I do? What's one thing that our listeners could take away from this and do that could make a little bit of an improvement in their time management and their mental load?
So the consolidation, definitely looking at where you have all of your information. And if you have lots of post-it notes on your desk, and if you have notes, three different types of notes on your phone and so on and so forth, just bring it all together. You'll probably get a few little bursts of joy when you can tick things off because you realize that post-it note actually did that thing last week and it's just sitting there. So you get a few little wins that you didn't even realize you had. And you also get to delete things that are no longer relevant. So that's a good way of doing that. If they want to get super serious on changing their mindset, doing a time audit is normally a really good way of doing it. So committing to identifying how you spend your time for a week, and then looking at how much of that time is spent on your own self-care and rest and filling your own cup, and then identifying the things that you're doing that you could potentially outsource to other members in the household, to a service, to whatever the case may be, finding a system of training with someone else in the community or something like that. They would probably be my main tips. That in itself will make the world of difference, because if you don't realize how much time you spend scrolling on social media and you don't want to continue doing that, there's mechanisms that you can put in place, but you won't know until you have the data. It's just analyzing the data of how you use your time and then making decisions around that. So I definitely found, and I spend a lot of time on social media for my business and my clients.
Yes.
So it can be a really hard way, like a hard thing for me to manage, but I just have a time limit set on my apps. So I've used X amount of time, which roughly should be how much I should be spending from a business perspective, the app just kicks me out. Now I can override that in the settings if I really want to spend the whole day scrolling, but it's normally a good prompter. Setting timers on things as well. So if you do find that you need a bit of a break and you're going to go watch Netflix, or you're going to go for a walk, or whatever it is, go fold the laundry because you just need to do something, set a timer. Don't fold the laundry and then put three loads of washing on because you were supposed to be doing your reconciliation of your Xero account or something like that that you're putting off.
Yep.
Just set a timer. And it is a bit of tough love, like you've got to commit to the things, but also just being really clear with the people in your household. I shared a story with a client the other day when my youngest was, I think, about two. We were visiting friends interstate. We're in their kitchen. I'd never been to their house before. And so I'm kind of facing my friend. We're chatting away. My son's kind of doing his thing behind me. And I turn around and he's sitting at the dining table. And I looked and went, did someone put him there? And she was like, oh, no, he just climbed up and sat there, and I just, like, I didn't think to do anything. And I just had this light bulb moment and thought, if I hadn't have known that, I would have kept putting him up on the chair, hovering around him every time he tried to crawl onto furniture for at least another 6 months. And I was like, you have the capability of doing this, but if I didn't know that, you would have let me pick you up and put you up on that chair for at least another 6 months. So what else can you do that I'm not aware of? of. And like my 10-year-old now, he gets up every morning, he makes his own breakfast, he packs his lunch, he unstacks the dishwasher, he feeds our dogs, he does a dog poo run outside, and he does all that before we go to school. And then in the afternoon, he's got his set of chores. On the weekends, he does his own laundry. He unbundles socks. He checks pockets for tissues. He hangs his own washing. He puts his own clothes away. He's 10. If he can run an iPad, he can run a washing machine. But a lot of parents just get stuck with the, but they're 10. And I'm like, yeah, they're 10. But what are they going to do when they're 15? Like, these are all things you can teach them. So it's all about capacity, and if you think of it as a team, if you had junior staff, yes, you wouldn't give them the top priority tasks, but you can give them a component of that, and they can, you can upskill them, because eventually they're all going to be adults anyway.
Wow, there would be, as you're saying that, and I'm all for, you know, kids having household responsibilities and learning to do things at a young age, etc. And then there's this mum part of me that says, but they should be allowed to be kids, and, you know, isn't that my job to do that? I'm sure that in amongst what you've outsourced to your 10-year-old son, he's still got plenty of
time. Oh, my God, he has so much free time. It's ridiculous. I wish I had all his free time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can sometimes get hung up on the fact that, you know, just let them be kids and let them do whatever. And then, but, you know, then it's sort of like, nobody gives me a hand around the house. Because you're not asking. You know, I've got teenage boys. They're older teenagers, so 17 and nearly 20. Yep. And midway through COVID, and I used to do everything for them. I have been that parent that has tried to set chores or outsource things to my children, and then they don't do it when I want them to or how I want them to, or they just don't do it full stop. And I couldn't be bothered with the argument. So they never did it, and I never asked them again. So I just went back to doing everything. And then suddenly during COVID, they started vacuuming their own bedrooms without being asked. And doing their own loads of washing. And I was like, who are you and what have you done with my children? And I'm like, did your grandparents talk to you? Are your grandparents paying you to do this and not telling me, because you're suddenly become super helpful? And so they've been doing that for 2 years now. And the time it gives me back, it's not just putting on their own laundry. They're responsible for getting it dry, getting it folded and putting it back. I literally don't touch my children's laundry.
Yeah, neither do I.
And the time that that gave me back, because I despise laundry, especially folding. I love putting it on, but that's kind of like if the fairies could come along and hang it out and then bring
it away.
And put it away. Oh, I hate putting laundry away. But the time it gave me back, and now I'm kind of like, I do a load of towels, and sometimes they even do that for themselves. But I pretty much now only do my own laundry. And the amount of time that has given me back of not having to find the stuff, sort the stuff, put on the load, hang out the load, fold the load, put it back in bedrooms. Because that used to be 6 or 7 loads of washing a week, and now it's like 2.
Yep.
That gave me back. And I'm like, I should have done this earlier, just like you've done with your 10-year-old. And they think, what else can we do? You're right. They still have plenty of downtime.
Yeah, so much downtime.
Still have plenty of time to be kids. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
What's interesting about when we had that scenario, and I just called it. So I kept racing around the house trying to find the jumper and the sports jumper and the this, and then one was in a bag. And I just said to him, if you can't get all your stuff to me by this point, you're going to have to do your own laundry. And he just kept forgetting, and then eventually I was like, I'm not doing any laundry anymore. But what's interesting is he's understood the value of his time. So a few weeks into him doing his own laundry, I was sitting with I was helping him. I was kind of just supervising as he was still learning this skill. And he brought his washing down, and I said, oh, like all the socks are the right way and the pants aren't inside out. And I'm like, what? When did you do this? And he's like, I worked out that when I get undressed, if I just sort that stuff at the time, it doesn't eat into my time on the weekend. So I do these little micro minutes when I'm getting undressed now. So on the weekend, I don't have to spend an extra 15 minutes standing in the laundry sorting stuff out. And I was like, I didn't even teach you that. Like, you worked out that you didn't want that eaten into your weekend. So when you went to go have a shower, you just worked that out. And I'm like, that's a skill. Like, that's a time management piece of knowing weekends are like gold for children. So they don't want to be spending it sorting out laundry. So I'm going to do these little increments throughout the week. And he worked that out all on his own. So such an amazing life skill.
That's very impressive. Yeah. That's very impressive. There was a most people would be familiar with Stephen Covey's, you know, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. His son wrote one, which is The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens and Children. Mm. And then there is a specifically a children's version of it, which I did do with my kids a long time ago, which is like, what is the children's equivalent of The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? And it is things such as, you know, teaching them to work now, play later, so that you don't get interrupted in your playtime and focusing. So, you know, I those books will be timeless. Yeah. There will never be a time where those seven habits are not something that's relevant. And when I discovered that there was a kids version, I'm like, this is brilliant. This is fabulous.
Amazing.
All right. I could have another set of questions for you, and I'm sure our listeners have got a lot. So if they wanted to learn more about what you do and the work that your team there at Organize, Curate, Design do, how can they find you, Caroline?
So we're on socials, so Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, Organize, Curate, Design. So very easy to find, a black and white logo. It says OCD. If anyone's paying enough attention, they'll find us. Our website is organizedcuratedesign.com, and that's the best place to go if you want to book a consultation call. So that's that free call to see if it's kind of the right fit for you. On our website, we've also got our online course. So there are people that want to know these skills and want to see the back end of my family calendar, how I do my meal planning, how I set goals for my business, all that sort of stuff. So we have a mini course called Game On, and then a larger kind of six level course called Level Up, and they're all accessible on our website as well. So if these are skills you want to pick up and you want to start using the Eisenhower matrix and consolidating your to-do list and all the tools that I recommend, that's the best place to go. And but I'm always on socials, so if you listen to this podcast and you just want to send me a DM, definitely do that. I am the person that often answers, so you'll get to chat to me directly and maybe learn how to get your 10-year-old to do the laundry.
I think there's going to be every woman wanting to know how you manage to do that, obviously. I will put all of those links into the show notes so that our listeners can easily find those and head to the socials or head to your website and learn more about what you do. Caroline, I'm feeling more organized just from talking to you. Thank you so much. It has been an absolute delight to have you on Living the Queen Life podcast with us. Thank you for listening to Living the Queen Life podcast. You can join in on the conversation at Queen of My Own Universe on Facebook, Queen of My Own Universe 1 on Instagram, or visit the website at www.queenofmyownuniverse.com. Please join me again soon, and in the meantime, keep on living your best Queen Life.